It's time he's back. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, back from the high seas. One of the seven seas. I'm sure there are more than seven seas. Arthur.
No, it was the high seas.
It was the high seas. Were they high?
I crossed the Atlantic twice. Okay. And then the other high seas were the North Sea. Well, let me say, this is you do meet interesting people on a ship. And one of them was a man who was a retired oceanographer who made light of all these designations. Our question was, what exactly is a fjord? Because we were cruising the fjords of Norway. And his answer is, it's a bay. And what's a gulf? It's a bay. And you can...
I'm so happy you said that, because I keep looking up these words, and I keep thinking, yeah, it's a bay. But there's like a specific designation for a this and a that. And
And it's vague.
Yeah.
You know, a sea is smaller than an ocean.
Right.
An ocean could be made up of several seas.
Right.
So, anyway, I was on the Queen Mary II. Going from New York, actually Brooklyn, actually Red Hook. We have something called the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal. That's another story. And that's another kvetch. But it is close to home. Queen Mary II from New York to Southampton, England. We stayed on the ship, and the ship went to Hamburg and to Norway and back. So we stopped in Hamburg twice. And on the way back, we stopped in Bergen, which is the second largest city in Norway. Here's something I learned, actually, when we got home, not while we were on the ship. Norway is 70% uninhabitable. And you go through the fjords, and you can see that really the only place that you can live is right by the water, because otherwise there's sheer cliffs going into glaciers. Anyway, So we were on the Queen Mary II, where I have been before, actually six times before. And last time I was on, which was last spring, I swore I wouldn't do this again because I was really disappointed in the food. And Bob got very claustrophobic in our stateroom, which I think are very nice. And the basic stateroom is, it's not as big as the word stateroom would give you, but it's fine. And they're comfortable. So we said we wouldn't do this again, but we did, because we're fearful of getting on planes, as everybody can imagine. In fact, only recently we had to go to St. Louis for my great-nephew's bar mitzvah, and, of course, going there was hell. Our gate was changed at LaGuardia eight times, and finally we got to a gate where the gate lady said, don't worry, this will be your last gate, but we don't have a crew yet. So we had to sit there an hour and a half waiting for a crew. So that's flying. So we're trying to avoid flying. And I thought this would be really being taken care of. We got an expensive room. Happy to do that. It was a great room. No complaints about the room. It's over 500 square feet, which is sizable. A big terrace. Not that we had much chance to use it. I thought, we'll have some nice balmy days in the fjords. We'll sit out there and look at the beautiful scenery. But in fact, it was raining and cold. I'm going to mention the best foods on the ship, and don't laugh. Ice cream, sorbet, Dover sole, which you can only get if you're in the fancy room, by the way, and shrimp. Somehow they always manage to have good shrimp. However, when you say shrimp tempura, you don't expect to have one shrimp on your plate.
Like one big shrimp?
Not even that big. You can ask for repeat, as one night somebody on my table did order the shrimp tempura, and it was one shrimp, and he said, you got to be joking. And the waiter brought him two or three more. So So, but why do they start out with one? For instance, there's sometimes, I'm laughing, it wasn't so funny at the time. They would list something in plural, like croquettes, and then you would get one thumb-sized croquette. So I'm not complaining about the point. There's that old joke. The food was terrible, and the portions were too small. So, but in this case, it was not a joke. So, again, never again on the Queen Mary 2. But here's something. Well, look, I wrote a list this morning, and I ran out of paper. I don't like to do too many pieces of paper with my Robin Hood Radio notes. So this is on two sides of a Cunard notepad. And I did mention that we were in a fancy room. So we were in a fancy dining room called the Queen's Grill. And I expected the food to be better in the Queen's Grill. We're paying a lot of money for this suite. Than it was last time we went, when we were in an ordinary, what they call Britannia room. That means you eat in the Britannia restaurant, which, by the way, is a gorgeous restaurant, two stories high. It's very nice. However, I found the food wanting and the service wanting even more. It was very harried service last year. I walked through Britannia a few times. It didn't even look busy. The food, overcooked fish. I can't tell you how many. We wanted to eat a lot of fish.
Right.
And there was always fish on the menu.
That's what you said before you left.
Pardon me?
You said before you left that was...
Yeah, I mean, we're going to Norway.
Exactly.
Yeah. So they actually, Michelle Roux, who is a famous French chef, but he's actually English. I mean, he's of French descent, but... is an English guy, and had a two-star Michelin restaurant in London for many years, took over from his father and uncle, and just closed the restaurant, Le Gavroche, and he works for Cunard, and he's a, quote, celebrity chef, and he did, I must say, he did a very nice demonstration, presentation in the theater, but his restaurant, he took over the ship's alternative dining steakhouse, which means you pay extra, but you know what? It was a bargain. He took that over for 5 days, and he was Le Gavroche on the Queen Mary 2, and it was $200 extra, not the usual, whatever, $65 extra, plus wine would be $260 extra. That's not why we didn't go. We didn't go because I'm over Michelin star food. And I kept asking in our fancy dining room, would we ever get a chance to sample any Michelle Roux dishes? And they said, oh, no, it's only for the Le Gavroche room. But in the end, the day after he left the ship, they did put three dishes on the menu. So I did get to taste the one memorable thing, which was very Japanese-like, seared tuna, practically, you know, pretty much raw in the middle, which I love, very beautifully seasoned, and it came with this little slaw that included sesame oil and slivers of scallion and who knows. It was very good.
So did they have, so when he was doing his thing, did he have special, did they have people who were doing the cooking, so to speak, so that when he left,
don't know.
They just...
I mean, oh, yeah, no, he had his crew with him.
And then did
his
crew get off too?
His long, long time executive chef, a woman, I forget her name.
Did she get off as well when he got off, or did she go help?
Yeah, no, they all got off.
Okay.
And there was another, Norwegian style restaurant, not Michelle Roux, and we went to that, and I had, finally, I had a taste of reindeer. Tasted just like any venison. And I also tasted some salami made from reindeer, which tasted like any salami. Okay. So I'm over all that. You would think they would have had a lot of Norwegian salmon. By the way, the number one export of Norway is fish.
I thought it was herring.
Well, that's a fish.
I think cod
and salmon probably. The point is the ship overcooked all the fish. So it was really hard to get a well-cooked piece of fish, even when the fish was a good piece of fish. Now, one night I did get a beautiful... I kept telling my waiter in the dining room, so he's the same
waiter.
Must have
been thrilled to see you.
He didn't even... I didn't have to say anything after, like, the third time. He said that. But, of course, and he tried... You know, I'm sure he reported what I wanted. It wasn't his fault.
No.
And one day I did get some Asian noodles with barely cooked salmon. It was delicious. But, you know, hard to get. A barramundi they had on the ship, which is a very good fish. And I've heard of it. I'm not sure I ever ate it before, but I'm going to search for that. That was... It's such a moist fish, they had trouble overcooking it. But overcooking is the mode of the ship. So how do you, this is not a rhetorical question, how do you manage to overcook a chicken, roast chicken, without ever getting any color on the skin? Tough, dry, tasteless chicken. They're not buying the best chicken. Oh, maybe they are buying good chickens for England. It's possible. Maybe the English want less flavor than even we do. But I don't know. Didn't taste like the chicken I cook. Another one, duck. So there are these special dishes that if you're in the fancy dining room, you can order. The best was the Dover sole, except that it was hard to get the waiter who beautifully fillets it, but it was hard to get him to brown the butter that he was putting on it. So even though the first time it was sensational because of the brown butter. And you can get this roast whole chicken for two. You couldn't even cut into it with a steak knife. Then there's a duck a l'orange. By the way, when you're on the Queen Mary 2, you're in England. And I guess... English people with money like everything to be flambéed. So the duck à l'orange is flambéed by your table, barely, I would think, a safety hazard, by the way, but the guy who does it is pretty professional at it. But the duck itself, again, how do you overcook a duck without getting the skin crisp? I mean, overcook so much that it was just dry and shards. What else? I mean, I could go on and on and on.
And
misnaming things. This really gets to me. Now, many years ago, when I say many, I mean 30 at least years ago, I wrote a column for a trade publication called Nation's Restaurant News. I do believe it's still in business and still publishing on paper as well as online. It's a major trade publication, and I wrote a column called From the Other Side of the Table, which was, you know, the eater's side of the table as opposed to the restaurateur side of the table. And I wrote a column, the only column I wrote for this magazine that had any traction, couldn't go viral in those days. There were no computers to do that with, no web.
No bots. No bot farms.
Whatever that is.
That's
anyway,
just how these things go viral.
I know.
All these people who are
okay,
paying.
Okay, well, anyway, the column was about how restaurants were using names of classic dishes, but not serving the classic dish. Prime example, Caesar salad. It may have been this. I think this incident came later, but we were in a neighborhood place years ago, and Bob ordered a pizzeria, kind of a nice pizzeria restaurant. Main thing was pizza, though. Anyway, Bob ordered a Caesar salad, and it was a bowl full of ordinary lettuce, probably iceberg lettuce, maybe some romaine lettuce too, with a mustard mayonnaise dressing. Bob called the waiter over, and he said, "This isn't Caesar salad. This is some kind of mustard dressing." And the waiter said, "Well, it's our version of Caesar salad." Well, you know, these names, to me, communicate something. And it doesn't communicate, you can do what you want.
But also, when did our version become, I mean, If it says on the menu the Queen Mary version of a Caesar salad, that's one thing.
You got it. Exactly.
But otherwise, I want what I think is a Caesar salad because I've eaten enough Caesar salads to know what a Caesar salad is.
Well, here's my favorite one from the trip. One day they had panzanella on the menu. I'm thinking, you know, I know. Do you know what panzanella is?
Yeah.
It's bread salad. The word pane, bread, zanella, whatever, a little bread. Panzanella is a salad based on old bread, usually with tomato, maybe sliced onion, or diced onion. Anyway, it's bread. I order the panzanella just to see what they're going to give me. And what they gave me was a very ordinary, you could get it at the school cafeteria, tossed salad with three, count them, half-inch croutons. That was the bread part of the salad. And, you know, they did this over and over again. For instance, they had pad thai on the menu. So I ordered the pad thai because, I have to say, one of my early table mates, the first week we were on the ship, we had some lovely, lovely people to sit with. The table mates were it was a mother and son, and the son was living in Boston, but from San Francisco, and the mother still in the Bay Area. And they, of course, being San Francisco people, are partial to Asian food. So they were trying different Asian things, and I realized the Asian, if you wanted noodles, which I did, you'd be better off ordering Asian noodles than anything they called Italian. So one day I did order pad thai, and it ended up to be nothing of the kind. It was just rice noodles and some raw vegetables on top. I don't even know what they were trying to do there. Bananas Foster. One of my table mates had a birthday.
Mr. Marshall's favorite thing.
Well, when it's done right, it's fabulous. So one of my table mates, it was her birthday, and she ordered, she said to the head waiter, can you make me bananas for Foster? And he said, oh, of course I can. So the next night he made it, and it was the worst bananas Foster I ever had. And I would not blame the head waiter because I'm sure he had a recipe that he was following, but they didn't caramelize the banana, which is, to me, the whole deal here. And the liquid was pineapple juice.
Ugh.
I don't know. Marshall would cringe.
Totally. I'm cringing on his behalf. I'm making noises that are not radio-friendly.
Yeah.
I've been told for many years I have a face made for radio, and I am making one of those radio faces.
Yeah, I know that.
But no, how do you...
I couldn't wait to get home and eat my own food.
I was just going to say, how do you ruin, you know, part of the fun of having, how do you ruin simple things? I mean, it's not on purpose.
It's easy if you're not a cook.
But
so,
how?
If
you're in the hospitality business, you'd think that the first thing you would want is to serve superior refreshment.
Yeah, but let me say.
And everybody will live happily ever after. What?
My whole professional life, I've been saying the most disheartening thing is to watch people enjoy bad food. And that was the case here. I think most of the people in that dining room were thrilled with having half their dinner flambéed next to the table. Or they did make a Caesar salad at the table, which was a tiny bit better than the one you ordered from the kitchen.
Not if it's basically a mustard Russian dressing.
Well,
I mean,
they called it, you know, it was cute because they did have shrimp with what we would call Russian dressing.
That's different.
And shrimp, I kept saying, was the best protein on the ship. I mean, they only gave you one shrimp tempura, but you could get four more if you really asked for it. And they did have shrimp cocktail of one sort or another on the menu fairly regularly, and that came with salsa rosa, which in fact is what they call Russian dressing in Sicily. So I don't know where the chef came up with that name, but I mean he made up things. For instance, there was something called pork cutlets with Parmesan breading, crust. Well, that's something I would even make myself. So I ordered it, but it wasn't a cutlet. It was a loin chop. So it was okay. That for a change, the pork wasn't cooked until it was, you know, white. I had a little pink blush to it. And it was okay. But I made the mistake of commenting to the head waiter that I was expecting a cutlet because that's what the menu said and not a chop. And he said, oh, well, in my country, I'm not going to name it because then you can name him. He was a nice man. That's the least favorite piece of the pig. I said, in my country, it's actually the favorite, unfortunately, part of the pig, the loin chops. So anyway, I'm home. I was expecting to right away make spaghetti with tomato sauce. Tomato sauce. One night they had something called, well, probably lunch. They had spaghetti napolitano. Well, of course I had to order that. Remember, you can always, if you don't like it, send it back and get something else. So I ordered the spaghetti napolitano, and it was spaghetti with tiny meatballs that were hard. But the tomato sauce was what I was really interested in. And it was, you know, how you improperly made tomato sauce, improperly reduced tomato sauce, goes all watery at the edges. So I got a bowl of overcooked spaghetti with tomato on top and watery edges. So I just sent that back, didn't even try to eat it. So that's it. But meantime, I still haven't had any spaghetti. So today I'm going to have to make myself.
Today, are you craving it? You must be.
I am.
Yeah.
I am craving a pasta of my own making.
And you know, this is really trite, but sometimes there's no place. Sometimes there's absolutely nothing like your own cooking because you know how to make it, and trying to explain it is just.
Well, one of the women that I talk to frequently, she said at the end, she said, well, I did this, and it was just what I was exactly thinking. She said, I came on this trip to get away from my kitchen, but now I can't wait to get back in.
Well, that's fair. And we're delighted that you are back and that you, again.
I'm delighted to be back myself, especially near my doctors.
It's a beautiful thing.
We're of the age. I was talking to a very old friend the other day, and she said, when I came back, and she's having her sixth joint replacement. I said, I didn't know there were six joints.
I didn't either, but, you know, it's enough of an industry that they figure out a way to replace
shoulders,
everything.
Shoulders, knees,
if you ask.
Hips.
You got knees, you got shoulders, you got hips, you got ankles, so there you go.
There you go. And her husband has the ankle problem.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Though I will, you know, on behalf of Marshall, they flat out told him when he had his ankles done that the next we would do his knees and then he'd do his hips. I was like, yeah, great.
Well, anyway, I would not go on this ship for the food, and I'm not sure if I want to go on a ship anytime soon again. Anyway,
well,
so now we have to figure out an escape, maybe just for a few days, that we can do in the car. We'll see.
Meantime,
we're just happy to be home.
Well, except at this moment, there's no place like home. And
there's no place like home. And I've been saying that my whole life, go away, best part of it, you're really eager to get away, the best part about getting away is going home.
Well, as I said, we are just delighted that you are home.
Okay. So. Well, I should be cooking by next week.
Even if you're not, you'll be
delicious.
Eating.
I can stand now, you know. I couldn't stand for the longest time.
Uh-huh.
Walking is another story, but I can stand.
That's for episode two. You're teasing. You're teasing on the next.
Okay,
installment.
So here's one. My last, maybe not my last, but my last complaint for now about the Queen Mary II.
Oh, don't make it your
that,
last.
That even though a preponderance of passengers have mobility issues, meaning there are more walkers, canes, scooters, wheelchairs than you can imagine, and the ship is fairly, but not enough handicap, accessible. However, the furniture is so low to the floor. What are they thinking? I know a lot of people, including me, have trouble getting out of chairs that are low to the floor. So I actually blame my current crisis from heaving my body up from these low, low seats. I always had to look around to see where can I sit here that I'm going to be able to get out of.
Right.
Okay, so that's another
That was another Marshall. And one of the great things about Mike is you have to come over sometimes and help Marshall out of his chair. So.
Well, I do have chairs that I made for this, my own chairs. But, yeah.
Yeah,
so
understood.
All to next week. Hope to be back to normal. And wait, is next week Labor Day?
Next week Labor Day.
All right. Well, I'll labor over this.
All right.
I'll be live.
Okay. Excellent. What else is Labor Day for? But to
work.
Labor. Thank you very much, Arthur Schwartz. We are glad that you're back. This has been Arthur Schwartz, the Food Maven, on Robin Hood Radio.